Hey guys, this is Jenna Irby, also known as Esthetician Jenna. I am owner of Skin Fit Aesthetics. I am also the co-host of the Charm School podcast. And in my own business, I use Schedulicity. And the reason I love Schedulicity is because it is so convenient for my clients. The platform and the website is so user-friendly. People can go on there anytime, day or night, when they're off of work, they're unwinding, they're finally in their bed at 8 p.m., ready to schedule their facial service when in traditional work hours, a receptionist would not be there. And they can just pop on the website, drink their cocktail, glass of wine while they're watching their favorite TV show and conveniently book their service with me. So that's why I love Schedulicity, is just the convenience that it gives myself as well as my clients.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jerry Natuno, CEO and founder of Schedulicity, and we're proud to bring you this amazing podcast.
Hey, welcome to your day off. My name is Corey, and of course, I'm sitting with my best friend, Tone. What's up, man?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, so, you know, for like the 20th podcast in a row, we're still stuck up in this this COVID separation that we have.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not digging it, but it is what it is.
What it is, man. It's the new real, right?
Yeah, I'd much rather have a microphone instead of some of these, you know, these little earbuds.
Mm-hmm. I got a microphone and it's all awesome.
Yeah, I'm missing mine. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of weird how like the microphones become like my security blanket. You know, it's like I feel comfortable talking behind it, but if I were to like move it away and talk in headphones, there's just like, I don't know, it's just a little more insecurity there, you know? I imagine like a musician like singing with a guitar in his hands.
Right.
You know,
I get you.
Yeah, exactly. It's so weird. Just the psychology of that is so weird.
Man, dude, I can't wait to get out, but you know what I mean? But until then, you know, we just keep digging and keep grinding, brother.
Keep digging and keep grinding. So, you know, speaking of digging and grinding, we got like certainly one of our favorite hairstylists from the circuit, and we're lucky enough to see this fella a few times a year on the circuit, and we always have interesting conversations. And you know, we usually do the handshake hug with him when we get to see him. I don't know what that looks like in the future. Maybe like a wave from across the room or something. Try to maintain some social distancing, but nonetheless, definitely one of my favorite people that are on the circuit.
Yeah, last time we saw him, he podcast bombed Maddie Conrad's on stage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, he definitely came on and jumped on the Maddie Conrad podcast from the stage, which is pretty dope.
Yeah, so this guy, he always seems to have self-awareness, right? He's a deep thinker. He takes care of himself, you know, mentally. And so, you know, we thought it'd be a great idea to bring this guy on and trying to talk about, you know, some of the things that he's doing in order to kind of stay in the right mindset.
Yeah, definitely. So today we're talking to Matt Sweeney from Lanza Healing Color Shampoo, whatever. He's with Lanza, and you know, he also works with Behind the Chair a bunch. And you know, it was actually a pleasant surprise last time we talked to him about how deep of a thinker he was. I didn't realize that that's where the conversation was going to go. The conversation that we had with him last time, which is about a year and a half ago now, it was just completely unscripted too. Like it was again, one of my favorite conversations that we had, just because it was so unscripted and we just went all over the place. And I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah. It was super authentic. It was real. And, you know, he didn't hold anything back. It was just like a real conversation on what he was doing.
Yeah. And I mean, I think if you could define him by one word, it would be authentic, right?
100%. Yeah. Right. I mean, he is who he is, and he ain't afraid of it. Right.
That's it. I love it, and I love his experiences. So let's go ahead and bring him in. So, Mr. Matt Sweeney, welcome back to your day off.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on, brother?
It's more like my month and a half off, but it's all good.
You ain't, man. You know, though, Matt, you say that, and like, I feel like I've had less time off now. You know, now that we're in this, I just like, I never just kind of shut down. You know, it's like I'm on the go, whether it's, you know, trying to get money from the government, or whether it's, you know, planning the next podcast, or like I was talking to you guys earlier, you know, cleaning up from our February tornado. You know,
yeah, it is a busy time, man. I mean, I guess it's like, what is it? You know, sometimes when you have nothing, when your calendar's clear, the calendar is more full, you know?
100%. Yeah. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, I can't believe how busy we are. Cause I mean, you fill it with something else, right? If it's not what you love or what you're doing with hair or you know, the show or whatever, it's going to get filled. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Something's going to fill it.
You know, for the first time ever, like, you know, you have those clients that are newly retired and you're like, man, how you digging your retirement time? They're like, man, I'm busier than ever. And like, you know, until this moment, like I was kind of like, I didn't understand that, but I totally get it now. I think this is what retirement looks like for all of us.
Oh, for sure. I was just talking to one of my buddies who works for me, and we were talking about this the other day. I'm like, man, this is retirement. And I'm like, I guess I was always worried I couldn't do retirement. And I'm like, no, I can do retirement.
we're out building out in the backyard. We built this whole light post frame around the patio. Now we're still building a brick smoker pit, you know, a rotisserie nice. Pit.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
Yeah, I
used to have a brick pizza oven when I lived in Miami in my backyard, man. That thing got a lot of use.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you adding one of those? Didn't you talk about that at one point?
Yeah, I had, yeah. We'll have one of those. Yeah, because we always have barbecues at the house.
Yeah. You know? No, I know. Me too. Yeah. I love barbecuing.
Can't wait for the pizza.
I'm going to have to barbecue you a steak one day, man. We're going to have a little cook-off.
Oh, boy. Heritage cook-off. I love it.
All right. We'll do that.
I'm going to give you a little reverse sear on that steak, and you aren't going to know what hit you.
Uh-oh.
I'm with you. I like it. Uh-huh. I like the reverse sear. That's my favorite way of doing it as well.
Yeah. All right. We can do it.
Can you guys cook me some mushrooms?
It depends what kind.
I don't know. I'm a vegetarian. I'm getting a reverse steered steak that sounds so delicious right now.
Well, we'll eat our steak in front of you, and then we'll give you some twigs and berries, brother.
I take it all the time, Matt.
Yeah, with a little garlic and oregano, you'll be good.
Right.
That's crazy. So, Matt, what I was talking about the shows and stuff. Like how have what have you been doing instead of the shows, or are you anxious to get back, or what have you been doing kind of with your quote unquote downtime?
Well, I've been doing a lot of internet stuff, right? Obviously, a lot of lives, just for Lanza and for BTC, just to kind of like stay in touch with the family, you know, of hairdressers that are out there. Other than that, man, honestly, I've just been taking this time to kind of like remember who I am, you know, and I don't mean that in a negative, like I'm not a hairstylist and I'm not a guy who, you know, loves what I do. I do love what I do, but work can tend to take over. And I think this is has been a real solid time just to remember, like, you know, who Matt really is without work, you know, without the idealism of like, I gotta be this guy, or I gotta travel here, I gotta do this, I gotta be this guy on stage. But like, who is Matt Swinney, and what really makes Matt Swinney tick?
That's wonderful. I'm so anxious to see at the end of this thing, you know, because a lot of people, you hear that a lot of people kind of like are digging deep in themselves, or they're finding themselves, or they're reconnecting with themselves, right? Is that going to stay the norm now? Are people going to take that connection and bringing it forward, or do they leave it with COVID and go back to same old, same old?
I think that's a good question. I think it's you know, nobody knows. I mean, we are a very forgetful society, right? So like, we move fast, we move on, and we forget what happened, you know, 2 days ago. But one thing is you know, that whatever, everything you read or what says, it takes roughly about 3 weeks to create a habit. So there could be some more like positive habit forming things that come out of, you know, this pandemic, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. And I think, Tony, I think the true answer is like, it'll be 50-50, right? Or it'll fall somewhere in the median. You know, you'll have some people that'll dig real deep, you know, in the moment, but then when this is over, you know, they'll go back to whatever the new norm is. Cause I think we're past whatever normal is, right? Whatever the new norm is. But I think, you know, just statistically, there'll be a median in there that'll hold on to it. And some people would dig way, way deeper, you know, with Matt, you know, like ayahuasca stories, or then you have people that kind of like dump off right away. Matt, what's your practice? Like you said that, you know, you're, I don't know if you were saying, but you're remembering, who am I? Do you have a practice in which you're like, okay, this is how I'm looking for grounded Mr. Sweeney?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say that I have like an actual practice. You know, I meditate, you know, I do yoga. I do Pilates, which is really great for your breath. You know, it's also like a form of meditation. But I think majority of what I mean by that is finding myself is like just finding other things, man. I mean, I do hair all the time, you know, like I work behind the chair all the time, and then I fly on the weekends and go do more hair, and then I come home and rinse, repeat. And you start to like forget like what, you know, or you don't even have hobbies. It's like, what fills my soul outside of, you know, doing hair? Because hair cannot be my only identity, you know, hair and kids cannot be my only identity. So I need to find other things. So example, like I've been woodworking over this time. So I don't know if either of you guys, I mean, I know Tony, you're building something in your backyard right now. You were just talking about, right? So, you know, when you're doing that kind of stuff, it's a meditation in and of itself. It's like a working meditation. So I built a really beautiful coffee table for inside the house. I built a bar for the salon, you know, just stuff like that. Just finding things that ignite my soul outside of hairdressing, because that cannot be the only identity that one has. Like, work cannot be the only identity that one has.
I love that. And that's getting back to our earlier conversation about when we're talking about barbecuing and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Up until we started the podcast, I had a barbecue competition team, and we used to do about, you know, 10, 12 competitions a year, up and down, around the Mid-Atlantic circuit. So, and then we started the podcast, and, you know, less and less barbecue. So this time has given me the time to go back to the pit. But yeah, you're right. You can connect outside of hair, because, you know, 24/7, you know, you live hair, and you forget what kind of draws you to or kind of fulfills you outside of this, right? And
that's, yeah, I mean, it's true, man. It's like, you know, people are either trying to get busy behind the chair, they're trying to make their salon work, they're trying to become an educator, or they're trying to become insta famous. Like, that's like what hairdressers are doing. Like, all that's what they're spending the majority of time, especially hairdressers that are like, if you will, like in the age, like 30 to like 45, 50, right? The younger ones, like some of them, I've got a few of those that work for me, and they're a little bit smarter and take time off and do other things for themselves. But when you get into that range of like 30 to 50, I think we just have been instilled to like work, you know, so hard that I feel even prior to this, you know, I meditate and I do things for myself, but it doesn't mean that I had an identity outside, you know, of hairdressing.
You think that like the 35 to 50 year olds are, it's something that was instilled in them, or do you just think it's the legacy game? Like I feel like I'm much more motivated, and I don't want to overblow this or whatever, but that it's the legacy, kind of like, you know, you now have enough life experience to share life experience, so that becomes your legacy.
Maybe I still think we have, it's that the Joneses, man. Like, it's like, I still think that whether it's conscious or subconscious, it's that like Joneses mentality of like, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do more. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do more. And where you get some of these younger people and they're like, man, I'm just going to be happy. And whatever that looks like today, I'm going to do that, you know? And I think that there's, you know, there's a real power in that mindset. We do live in a world where you have to, you know, obviously pay your bills and whatever, but if you're living at those means, right? Like, you don't need to have a BMW at, you know, 21 or whatever the case may be, and your means are less and you're taking public transportation or you're on your bike or whatever, and you can afford that lifestyle acting that way. I don't know. To me, I have a lot of respect for people that choose their inside before their outside. You know?
I think people forget. I don't think, and you're right. As you were talking, it was coming to me like people are less content, it seems like, right? People can't find that contentment. And so they're constantly searching and searching and searching, moving, trying to fit, you know, and wow.
Yeah, just look at the divorce rate, man. You know, right. You know, stuff like that. They just can't, you know, you can't be content with just like living, you know, this nice life and kind of like taking the time. This is what we're doing right now with COVID, is we're forced to take the time to figure out who we are, you know, and you can do that, or we can sit and complain about COVID, or, you know, stress about COVID, or you can take the time to, you know, heal. Get better.
Love that. You know, there's been a lot of memes and stuff around about, like, and not even just memes, but just, you know, like news stories and stuff about like how LA is clearing up, and how, like, I just saw in Puerto Rico for the first time in something like 100 or 200 years, there's actually like a luminescent plank on the, what are they
called? Yeah, the Bio Bay.
The
Bio Bay. Yeah. They're a little plankton. That, have you ever been in one of those, by the way?
No, but it seems so cool to me. Tony, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
With the ground where it glows. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So there are these little like microplanktons, and when they get nervous or when they get scared, they flash light, right? And then they fall to the bottom of whatever body of water they're in to like regenerate their defense mechanism, if you will. But when you're swimming, I swam in one of the AKs. And when you're swimming in it and you like lift your arms out of the water, it looks like diamonds falling off your body. It is literally one of the most amazing visual experiences you could ever experience.
That is pretty cool. Do you think this is like Mother Nature's way of shaking the tree? Like, hey, you know, listen up, humans, you know, because it seems like, again, not to get too like woohoo about it, but you know, that's a bad pun. do you think there's some validity to that?
Well, I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist about how like the whole COVID-19 started, but I think that Mother Nature is the beneficiator of, you know, act of a human, because and in essence, then yes, you could say Mother Nature, right? Because we are all part of one consciousness, right? So Mother Nature and humans, we're all part of the same consciousness. So there could be like some guide inside however COVID started, beyond, you know, beyond what we can even comprehend. But yeah, I think Mother Nature is a huge beneficiary. She's the number one beneficiary of this. And I hope to God people can see that. I mean, it's like the dolphins in Venice, right? Like dolphins haven't been in Venice in like something like 40 years, and they're jumping through the canals and stuff like that. I mean, these things, this is how our world is supposed to look, but we're just too stupid to realize that we are completely deteriorating what takes care of us most, you know?
I was reading a Medium article, and they were talking about, again, go back to like mechanical ships, you know, like when they were like wind drawn, or they were row drawn. They had captain's notes of these ships that were thousands and thousands of miles apart, but they could hear the same whale calls. And like all these whale calls have been drowned out by like, you know, mechanical engineering, you know, I found that fascinating that, you know, thousands, like 5,000 miles. I mean, we're talking like huge distances that they could hear the same exact whale calls. And then you kind of wonder, like, you know, was that whale call intended to go 5,000 miles? Meaning, was there a listener 5,000 miles away? And, you know, if you believe in Mother Nature, then you have to believe that there was a purpose for that. It was just interesting to me.
You got to send me that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. If I can find it again.
If you find it.
Send it to the archive. Yeah. It was super mega interesting.
I love all that shit, man. I totally believe in all that, man. I do. I just, it's crazy. Like even here, like in my house, you know, in Minneapolis and whatnot, like my buddy lives in the city. The other day he had like a whole family of wild turkeys like rolling through his yard. So it's just quieter, you know, there's just less action. So they feel safe. It's gotta be a good feeling.
Yeah, you see all those pictures where the wild animals are like are going to the city streets or getting closer to the urban areas because of, you know, everybody's quarantine, so they're getting more comfortable coming in. And
it also showed you how fast Mother Nature could really take us out.
Oh yeah.
I mean, really, like if all the animals got together and said, you know what, enough of these fucking humans, we might be fucked.
I think that it was Nat Geo or his Discovery that did a TV show a few years ago, and the premise of the show was how long, if human life just disappeared, right? How long would it take Mother Nature to like regenerate or to come back? And it was fascinating because they were able to kind of break it down almost moment by moment, going, you know, up to 100,000 years, and it was only like 10,000 years before like they would cease to be any human intervention. Is that the right word? You know, yeah. It's pretty cool.
But it was like weeks and months how the animals would roam the cities and stuff like that. It was crazy how fast things changed.
On that note, Tony, like, you know, there's already coyotes in Central Park now. Like, have they multiplied since then? Because coyotes, boy, there's no animal in the world that evolves quicker than coyotes.
Except for rats.
Well, that's
no. Well, rabbits.
Hey, you know what? If there's a bunch of coyotes, you don't have to worry about the rat.
Listen, there's the only one animal that I'm like not into, and it's rats, man. They just gross me out. I don't know if you guys remember the movie Remington Steele?
I don't know. No. I mean, I remember the movie, but I don't remember what it's about.
It was like Pierce Brosnan 800 years ago, and there's a scene where they stick this guy in a room and they cut him up, little cuts, and then they just unload rats in the room, and all you hear is like these rats like going to town. And I think I was like 5 years old when my dad showed it to me, and ever since then I've been totally just friggin' like the scared of rats.
I'll get out. But there was there was a Chuck Norris movie, right? Like when they hung him upside down and they put a rat on a hood.
Last night we watched an episode of Grimm, and it was about a bunch of the rats, right? I don't know if you know the premise of what Grimm, the TV series is.
Yeah.
So this guy, he was kind of the Pied Piper with the violin. He was, his underlying character was a rat, but he controlled all these rats, and he would have them attack. It was like a million rats just eating.
Nope, not gonna do it.
I had a client once, and she was sitting in my chair, and she was telling me about her rats and how they were for pets, and they're like, oh, how wonderful they were and how loving they were. And when she got done with her story, the only thing that came out of my mouth, and it was a total like mistake, but it was like, that's disgusting. I never saw her again after that. I think she was very offended, and I felt bad, but it was like verbal throw up. I couldn't even stop it. I was like, well,
that's so crazy.
I used to get these little white mice and just to feed them to my snake.
Oh, nice. But, yeah, snakes don't scare me.
Right.
But rats do.
It's me, it's rats and spiders, you know?
Spiders.
Yeah. I like respect spiders. Like I'll catch them and throw them outside if they're in the house, but I ain't hanging out with one. You know, I'm not
They're all up in here.
Oh, stop, yeah. Tony.
Yeah, no spider as a pet. I was driving down the road in Puerto Rico once, and we're driving, and this thing, like, we're on a dirt road, and you could see this like thing in the middle of the road, and as we got closer, it jumped like this, boom, landed on the hood of the Jeep, and it was a spider.
What?
It was like this, man. It jumped off the ground, landed on the hood of the car. It was like, and my wife was screaming so loud, the car was going like this. Yeah, it was bad.
I would have been on the next plane out of there, man. There's just no way.
They got some big ass spiders down there. Big.
Hey, Maddie. Speaking of rats, in the Caribbean they have these things called banana rats. Have you seen them?
I have.
They're about the size of a dog. They're huge. Mm-hmm.
Disgusting. Yeah. Like I had this beautiful house in this really nice area of Guaynabo was the neighborhood. So it's right basically, let's see. So where would it be? It's just by maybe about 15 minutes from the beach. So not far. Anyway.
This is in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, this is Puerto Rico when we lived in Puerto Rico. And, you know, everyone has like walls as fences, like concrete walls. So it's about 10 feet high or something like that. And at night I would sit out on the patio and I would just watch the rats run across the top of, it was bad, but they would never come in your space, but they would go on the top of all the fences.
It reminds me of Robert De Niro in Cape Fear.
Counselor.
Sitting right there.
Oh my God. I don't know how we got onto like rats and spiders.
Phobias, our little phobias.
Yeah, it's so funny, man. That's crazy. Do you have lots of wildlife in Minneapolis?
Yeah, man. I mean, Minnesota, Minneapolis in general, is just a great place. Parks everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, there'll be a fox in my backyard. There'll be a deer in my backyard. And I'm literally three blocks from Minneapolis, you know? So I'm not out in the suburbs or in the sticks or anything like that. And there's wildlife everywhere, man. It's beautiful. I mean, the only thing about it is that it's fucking cold.
It's cold. It's cold for a long time.
It's really really fucking cold.
Especially from Puerto Rico, right?
Oh. I mean, I love it here, but I'm gone.
Got it.
When my kids are in college.
Speaking of that, last time
older son just signed to play football at Cal. So
that's
the Cal poster in the back.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, brother.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yep.
He's like a defensive end or something, right?
No, he's an offensive lineman.
Got it.
6'6", 285, and he's a junior right now.
Junior in high school.
Yeah. So he early committed. So he's actually going to be, it will be next January. So whatever, 10 months from now or 8 months from now, he'll be going out to Cal as what they call a gray shirt. So he'll graduate high school half a semester early. He'll go start training with the team in January.
That's incredible, man.
Wow. That's $280,000 worth of education that kid saved me.
Good work, that kid. What's his name?
Bastion.
Bastion. So we have to keep an eye out for Bastion.
Yeah, he's a beast, man. He's going to start. I think he's going to play as a freshman. So
as a true freshman. Huge.
As a true freshman. I think he will.
That's amazing. Wow. I mean, what else is the dad going to think, though, there, Matt? Come on.
Oh, no. I mean, listen, a lot of linemen redshirt. I mean, like, that's just the thing. Like, if you're a lineman, you redshirt, which, you know, for people that don't know what that means that you don't lose a year of college eligibility and you still get to practice with the team and you still get to go to the games and all that stuff, but you can't step on the field during game time, but you can practice. But I think because he's so versatile as a player, it's going to be hard to pass it up. He's going to be 310 by the time season rolls around. So if he can get to the speed of the game, then he'll play.
That's awesome.
That's a big man.
Yeah. I'm a total realist with my kids. Like, I'm totally honest with them 100% of the time. Not that I'm a dream squasher, but I'm a realist about things that I know. So, like, when he was a kid, he's always like, I want to play tight end. I'm going to play tight end. I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to play offensive line, and you're going to go to the NFL playing offensive line. I can guarantee you that. I can tell by the way you move. And then here we are.
Here we are. That's awesome, man.
We're like, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So he's pretty athletic then, huh? Offensive line.
Oh yeah, he's a basketball player too. Yeah, he's good.
Is he gonna play? Try to play ball for Cal as well, or
no? He can't. When you get to that level, man. I mean, when you're top tier D1, like, it's tough to play two sports. I mean, I don't think it would be. And plus, this Cal is such a great education. You know, it's like, I think it's like number five in the country for education. So. He's got to hit those books too, right? So, no.
100%. That's awesome, man. It's pretty exciting. So, how old is your other child?
He's 12. He's going to be 13 in 2 weeks, and he's quite the stud too. He's going to be a tight end. He's going to be the tight end.
He's going to be the tight end.
I'm already grooming him.
Yeah. That's right.
I hope he's going to be built like Gronk.
Oh, he will. No, it will, because he's got like portions of me, which is like, obviously I'm a little bit like more husky, if you will. And then my wife is super lean and like, you can see every muscle in her body. So he's like got a little bit of a mixture. So he's going to be a beast.
Nice.
That's all. I'm about to look for him, man, in a few years there. That's only 4 years away too, right?
And then I'm gone.
Where do you think you guys end up? Back to Arizona?
I don't know, man. You know, we talked about buying an Airstream,
Get out.
And then, and then so like maybe like January, we'll take off the whole month of January and we'll just go different places and do different things. And do that for a few years and then kind of figure things out, you know, while we're still young, because I'm only 42 years old, man. So 47, this can happen where I can take a month off in the winter and go places and see the world and, you know, even more in a different way. And so to buy an Airstream, start out and then figure it out from there, man.
That's awesome. Matt, how has it been? Like, I mean, you have a son who's we have two sons that are pretty committed to football, and you know, football almost always happens Friday night or Saturday. How have you worked out your travel schedule with and also, you know, still being an involved dad? Does that make sense? Of course it does.
Yeah, totally. So once the kids hit sixth grade, then Lonza knows, like, I can't leave until late Saturday. That's just how it is, you know. I've missed some really great events, you know, like some overseas events and stuff that I would like to do that would actually be fulfilling for me. But, you know, these times, man, with our kids, man, they only happen. I mean, it's such a blink, you know. People who have kids understand. People who don't, you will one day. If you have children, you'll understand. It happens in a blink. And I don't, it's hard to explain. Like, it's actually more rewarding to see them succeed than it is to succeed myself. And so I don't know. It's crazy, because if you ask my oldest son, it's so funny, because he'll be like, you know, I traveled all the time when he was little. Like, I was gone all the time. And he's always like, he'll tell people, you know, my dad's always there when I need him, you know. And it's not about the length of time you're around, it's about the quality of time when you're there, you know. And if you can fully focus on certain things with them, then, you know, yeah, I mean, it's not about the length, it's about the quality.
I love that.
Yeah, preach it, brother.
Well, yeah, when my daughter was a teenager, and like she was very involved in softball, and you know, there was a time where, you know, she was just losing interest, and you know, dad, me as her coach since she was little, you know, wasn't losing interest at the same rate, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I remember a conversation, and it's honestly the best. It's the best advice I ever got, and that was from my wife, of course, because you know, she gives.
The they're best. Smarter.
Exactly. Much. She was like, you know, you're trying to build a softball life with her, but you know, she's going to be your daughter forever, you know. And it took me about 12 hours to kind of absorb that and to go, you know what, I need to build more for forever than I do for now. And I just, I'm very, very, very grateful for that advice.
Nah, that's sage advice is what that is. That's what we would call that.
Yeah.
Sage advice. Yeah. Sage
advice. I love that. So yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, I know, like even the conversation, even through the podcast, like, you know, Tony, when his son was still in high school, even through the podcast, we've had to, you know, move stuff around for the stuff that he did with his son while in high school. So it's pretty cool. I think you're preaching to the choir here. I think we both understand that. And have been there.
Even like Tampa Bay, you know, Bruce Aarons, he's the head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he will tell his staff, like, this is an NFL football team. Your children's events are not to be missed. We can work till midnight, but make the event.
Wow.
You know, and that to me is like special. It's like that's what it's all about. It's like these, again, they happen so freaking fast, man. My biggest regret is not coaching football when my kids were young. I wish I would have taken the time to coach them, you know, when they were young. Because all their buddies used to come over here and we used to run drills and all that kind of stuff. Or if I'd stand in for one day, you know, like, the kids would have so much fun. Because it's something that I love, right? Like, I love football. I played it. And to transfer the love of that is almost like stepping on a stage and doing a haircut and seeing everybody in the audience, you know, feeling energized and excited. But imagine the energy and excitement, you know, out of a 10-year-old. Like, that's the elevation of the energy and excitement is so much more. They're not trying to be cool. They're not. You know, they're not trying to be like, yeah, well, I can already do that. They're like soaking it in, and they're just amped for them to go out and regurgitate what they just learned.
That's awesome. And you were a D1 player, right?
Almost. I hurt my knee. Remember?
Oh yeah.
My knee. So yeah, I had the scholarship, but then I didn't get to play.
Got it.
But that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. It's a different path. That's it.
I'm here now talking to you guys. I wouldn't be here talking to you.
Exactly. He'd be talking to someone important.
There is no more important. There is no more important than you guys right now.
We want to thank your knees.
Exactly. We're not taking your knees out. That's so crazy. It's actually like even through this COVID thing, it's been interesting. Yeah, even how the sports teams have responded. You know, like I knew that it was serious when the professional league started to dump out. That was kind of my like, oh, it just got real.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, that's billions of dollars, right? Billions. Yeah. And I think you know, and I love how they're supporting the people that work in their arenas and they're doing all these different things like that. Like to me, that just showcases like true leadership, and the power of sports, right? Like a lot, some people say they don't like sports, they don't watch sports, they're not interested. That's cool, but sports are very powerful in the world today, you know? And, even if you go, you know, overseas, sports are very powerful, maybe just a different sport, but actual athletes that are entertaining us, you know, on the weekends or during the week, like they hold a lot of power in their hands, and to see them use that power for good, it's just really refreshing.
Yeah. And you can see the community getting together with that, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we hear so many times, you know, athletes aren't role models. Well, I argue that the role models are the ones that are stepping up right now. The role models are the ones that are.
Yeah. Any athlete that says that they're not a role model does not deserve a jersey purchased by a son, by a son or a daughter out there in the world, or an adult, because you are a role model and you've chosen to be a role model by choosing to make millions of dollars playing sports. Now, you've chosen that path. That's part of it, man. And you can't deny it. And I find it to be really sad when people do. Just like, for example, like, I mean, in our industry, you know, people that stand on a stage and talk to 5,000 people, 500 people, five people, you're still a role model. You know, you're a role model for our industry. And that's just part of the job when you choose to take that job.
Well said.
Well,
just like when you choose to take the job of being a parent, you're a role model.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a whole nother story, isn't it? You know, once you're a parent, you're in, bro. You know, I hope you're in. You know, I hope that you get to enjoy that. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, there's way more. I found that anything I accomplished as a kid in sports or in anything wasn't nearly as, I was never as proud of myself as I am of my kids accomplishing, you know, even lesser stuff, really, right? But you're just really proud of that as well. You know?
Well, so my older son's played varsity for 2 years now, right? Mm-hmm. And every time they run on the field to start a game, I cry. And my wife is like, you need to stop fucking crying, dude. You know? And I'm like, I can't help it. It just happens. Like, I can't. I every day I'm like, I'm not going to cry today. It's not going to happen today. And every time it's just dripping down the side of my face, because it's like, To see that is like, I don't know. I mean, they were so little and they were so helpless, you know, when they come out, they're helpless. I mean, they need you for everything. And now here they are commanding their life. It's just so impressive, you know?
You got to be a proud. Yeah. They're so proud of, you know, what he's doing, and can't help it.
Yeah.
I feel you.
I get it, man. Like I've dropped way more tears for my kids than I have for my kids. I have one for my kids than
you know of.
So right. Oh, stop it, man.
Man, you can't open the door and expect me not to go through.
There's a reason I won't do the 23andMe. 23andMany.
Right.
Exactly. Actually, you know, the truth of that is that it's my dad. Like, I know my dad was whoring around, so I've already found out about one kid that I didn't know about that my dad had. It could be swarms of them. There could be swarms of 50-year-olds running around
with big beard.
that's funny.
That's too funny.
I know. That is crazy. I have a client that with the 23andMe, she may or may not work at Langley. She may or may not, but she said she would never do it. She's like, I would never do that. She goes, why would you give the Chinese your DNA? And I go,
yeah, I agree. My dad passed away in June last year. So I thought about doing it. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, I don't want my DNA out to the world. Like, what if somebody steals my DNA murder somebody, and then all of a sudden my DNA is at the scene. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it just seems like, I don't know why I would want that. They already are watching us through our phones. We don't need to do anything else. Do we?
Yeah, it's like that dude out in Wisconsin. Remember they stole his DNA and they're still trying to fight to get him off.
Oh, that Netflix show?
Yeah, like, remember he was convicted for murder. And they found he was innocent, and then then somebody stole some DNA from him and then reframed him again.
Yeah. See, I'm keeping the DNA in house.
That's it. There was a story that I think it was Autopsy on HBO. They used to have a show, and there was a segment called The Good Doctor. And what this guy did, and this is before, like, you know, DNA tests and stuff, but what he did is he surgically implanted a surgical tube in his arm, right? And he filled it up with somebody else's blood because this guy was like a rapist murderer, right? And he filled it up with somebody else's blood, so when they drew blood, it was somebody else's blood. So the DNA didn't match, but it was like the creepiest, like crazy.
That's messed up.
Yeah, look up if you're listening in. Google Autopsy on HBO, and then the name of the segment was The Good Doctor, and it was like, it's just this crazy, like, just, you know, it's first degree murder. This guy is definitely first degree rape because he figured it out way before. Actually, I don't think he was a murderer, but he was like this rapist dude. But it was, anyways, and I don't know how we got here either, but it was just the scum of the, like, if this guy isn't the scum of the earth, man, you know?
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah. He was in Canada. You know, you can't trust his Canadian doctors.
Not one bit. Just Canadians in general, especially Canadian barbers.
Right?
Yes. That's hilarious. I wonder if I can talk him into shaving his beard.
Never.
No.
That's his brand.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Willie Nelson's long hair, man. This is not going anywhere.
That's it, man. I had a chance to a couple years ago. I had a chance to see Willie Nelson in a bar. The bar only seats like 1,200 people. You know, he was doing he was doing this surprise, like it wasn't like a planned thing. It was like a surprise kind of thing, you know, stopover while he was on the road. And one of our clients is the head of booking for this venue. So she got me these tickets to see Willie Nelson. And like, I'm not a huge Willie Nelson fan, but I mega respect where he lives in the music world. And I thought, man, if I was, I don't know if I'd go see Willie in an arena, but I'd definitely go see Willie in a bar. You know what I mean? And then,
100%.
Literally, my wife and I were driving down to the show, and the same client called me. She's like, man, bad news, Willie just canceled. And for about 2 minutes, I was so annoyed. I was like, what? He canceled. But then I'm like, he was 86 years old. If he wants to take
totally
off, you know.
You know, he probably just got high and passed out. That's really what
was. Well, that was my joke too. Yeah, he probably high in the bus there. But you speak about, like, well, between him and Chong, I'm convinced that marijuana cures cancer because Chong and Willie put it away. Actually, I think Chong quit though.
Oh, he did. Yeah. But he's probably eating it. That would be my guess. I think he quit smoking it.
Oh, right.
Not with the edibles, you know.
Edibles are scary to me, man. Because
Joe
Rogan talks about how it's a different how it's a different high, because it's like it's more of a hallucinogenic by the way that the liver breaks it down. It creates a totally different drug.
That's the only way that I'll do marijuana. Mm-hmm. I like the edibles. I don't like to smoke it, man.
What's the legality in Minnesota?
I haven't checked.
Good answer.
I don't really care. I mean, you know, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, that's what they say, right?
And one of my best friends is a criminal defense lawyer, so I'll be all right.
You're good, man. Because in Maryland, I think it's legal, like, via prescription, right, Tony? But I think the prescriptions are really easy to get.
Yeah, but then you get like pills and stuff like that, man. I don't like pills.
Well, no, we have dispensaries. We have smokehouses.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
you go and buy like a bag of weed if we want. DC has the
one right around the corner from my house.
Literally.
Oh, hey, Matt, well, I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting for that FedEx package.
That's awesome.
Well, so yeah, well, we'll stop by and then we'll come to my the back of my house and we'll have a little cook off here.
There you go.
That's the one.
Mitch Hedberg has the funniest joke about FedEx. He goes, I like my FedEx driver. He doesn't know that he's a drug dealer.
True.
That's hilarious. DC has the weirdest rule because, like, it's legal, completely recreational, right? You can smoke it all you want. People, you know, walk the streets and smoke it, kind of like LA. However, you can't sell it. So how people, but you can give it away. So you can gift it, but you can't sell it. So what DC's done is there's people that, and you know, again, on Facebook, Craigslist, or whatever, you can actually go and buy a $70 blow pop with a gift.
Oh, nice. That's amazing.
They sell stickers too. It'll be like a $50 sticker, you know.
I like it. Capitalism.
Capitalism at its best, man. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But it's funny because DC is so funny because even though the government of DC made it recreational, it's still a Fed run territory, which federally it's still illegal. So
it is kind of crazy. And definitely don't listen. If you come to DC, do not smoke on the mall. The mall is federal land and they will get you. Mm-hmm. You know, the park police will get you, but yeah. You know, if you're in a neighborhood or something, they'll leave you alone pretty much. Yeah. Don't walk into the Capitol smoking. That's cool. Matt. So what, are you missing the show circuit? It's just, I know, listen, I'll speak for me is I'm very much missing the show circuit. I mean, I was kind of glad, we were kind of just getting started when all this, when all this shut down, but you know, I really like the shows. I mean, you do many, many, many more shows than we do, but I miss it. How you feeling?
Yeah, man, I think I've had like in the neighborhood of like 15 events canceled, you know, since this has happened. So I think I'm canceled through June right now. I miss my friends, man. I miss the people I see. I miss, you know, impacting, you know, people's lives, in that way and trying to help people, you know, grow their business and be more confident, you know, behind the chair. But my body doesn't, man. My body is like, wow, you're not traveling. Like, this is the longest stretch I've been home since I'm 20 years old. I'm 42. So that's 22 years, wow. The longest stretch that I've been home. And I can feel like, just my body healing, man. Like the airplane is not good for you. You know, it's compression of organs, compressions of veins and body parts and all that stuff. And just the pressure that you get from flying. So mentally, yeah, I miss it. But physically, my body is like, thank you for the break. You know, we appreciate you. So yeah, there's pros and cons, man. I mean, there's definitely pros and cons. Will I be excited to go back on the circuit once things get back to normal or the new normal, if you will? Yes, I will be excited, of course, and excited to go out and see all my friends and do what we do. But there is a part of me that's like, wow, you know, this body needed it. This body needed that break.
That's awesome. I mean, we didn't travel that much, but listen, just being 51, my body appreciates the break of just not like even just working in the salon, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, 100%, man. I mean, my salon days are like 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., you know, no lunch break and 14 to 17 people a day. And so, yeah, the body is just like saying thanks, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know a 50-year-old hairdresser that doesn't have neck and shoulder issues, you know?
Yeah.
You know, for us that have been in the industry about 30 years, I'm starting to loosen up a little bit though. Like I still have neck and shoulder issues. Like it's still there, but it doesn't feel as inflamed as it has for years and years and years. Like I'm actually able to, you know, move my neck and stuff, you know, without it like being like, can I go that far or not? So, yeah. I think my body definitely appreciates it. I don't know how long, you know, my body, once we get back in the grind, I don't know how long my body holds up necessarily, but you know, I'm appreciative of that. And I mean, and to move forward, like what's the new normal going to look like? You know, I'm super curious as to that. And I don't know, is the industry going to step up and say, hey, this is what we need to do? Or is it going to be state by state? I would hate to think that it would be state by state that's going to now regulate, you know, what the new normal is. Like, is it 6 feet between stations? Is it not double booking? Is it, you know, everything that we've done in our industry? could be a big
It's hard to speculate, bro. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to speculate what they're going to do because everything changes on a daily basis. I know for myself, though, I think my schedule is going to change. Like, I've realized, you know, through this time, like, I don't need to do to myself what I've been doing. And I quite enjoy not pounding myself into the ground daily. So I personally, my salon schedule is going to change a little bit. It's going to be a little bit lighter. And yeah, it's hard to speculate. It's just so crazy. It's just, you hear the word unprecedented all the time, but there's no other way to describe it. We have never seen anything like this. And it just to guess what's going to happen is just to, you know, again, like just, you know, you're just shooting at, you know, things in the air blindly, right? We just don't know what's going to go down tomorrow. I mean, what if all of a sudden there's another huge outbreak tomorrow? I mean, what happens then? I mean, they're already saying that now in Asia, they're getting like a second wave worse than the first. So it's like, what's going to happen? We just don't know. But I do know that my body appreciates me for taking care of it more than I have. And so that part has to stay. The traveling probably will stay the same, but the behind the chair will probably lighten a little bit.
Right. That's a, you know, it's nice that you have that option. I wonder like how it's going to affect the industry as a whole, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I think, you know, there's some things that are really interesting. You know, our industry has gotten a little bit divided. If you go between like commission and booth renters, you know, there's always a lot of like little drawing back and forth. You see it on the internet. You see all, you know, on social media and stuff like that. And I don't know if I think that probably each of those will change in a little bit different way, if you will. So I don't know if it's going to unite our industry or even like bring it a little bit further apart when you talk about those two things. Like, because if you're an independent contractor right now, it's pretty hard for those guys to get unemployment. You know, if you haven't been paying yourself a paycheck through your own LLC, good luck. You know, like if you're just paying for your car payment, paying for your house payment out of the money you make behind the chair without paying yourself an LLC, then it's a lot harder, you know, for those guys to get the unemployment that they've needed through this time. And so I just don't know if you're going to see more people maybe go to commission. And then our commission salons, you know, being a salon owner, are they going to have a different tactic, if you will, than a booth renter? Because booth renters, you're already kind of like alone, right? You know, in your space. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a crazy, crazy time. I can't believe we're living through it. It's just, I sit up, you know.
It's like, yeah, you think about when we were kids, right? And just, I mean, from 9/11 to, you know, as a kid, your mom would say, you know, be home by dark. They had no clue where we were. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Life is not like that at all right now. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. since, you know, especially with cell phones, you know what I mean? You know where your kids are all the time. It's just, it amazes me that, that we're living through this right now. And I would never, ever have guessed it.
No. It's the first time that the world has had a common goal, shall we say, you know, since World War II, you know, so it's the first time that the world's been together with a common enemy, I should say, you know?
Yeah.
I think it is a time for us to be more united, you know, internationally or worldly, because the answer is going to be worldly. It's not going to be here or there, right? It's going to be, you know, all of us, whatever the answer is. But, it's interesting. And as far as dividing the industry, Matt, I mean, I when it comes to this, I'm a little bit more pessimistic because it's not just about the booth renters and the commission salons. Now it's become, should I open, should I not open? You know, a month or two ago, it was like, should I close, should I stay open? And then it became, should I sell at-home hair color kits or should I not sell at hair color kits? And now that same conversation is, you know, should we open, should we demand to be open or should we demand to stay home? You know, I mean, you know, personally, I feel like I'm going to demand to stay home because, you know, no matter what, my health and the health of my family is most important at the end of the day, because, you know, all the money I made in the world, if it affected my family in a negative way, would have no value.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, right? But then what if it's like, okay, what if you are the booth renter that's like, I need money to eat.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Like, we save money. You know, we were on top of the PPP loan. We got the PPP loan right away, went with a small bank, did things right. So like my staff is taken care of. I don't get a paycheck right now, but you know, the staff is taken care of. So there's certain situations where it's like easier to be like, yeah, I'm having a good time, you know? And then there's other people who haven't gotten a paycheck and can't pay for even, you know, a bottle of water or a bag of rice, man. Mm-hmm. And that's when it becomes dire. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, what is right? What is wrong? They say 85% of people are going to get this virus anyway, you know, no matter what. And we're just buying time so that we can have the space to take care of the people that get it. I mean, it's just so crazy to even try and quantify what is right and what is wrong.
I feel you, man. You're right, though. You know? Yeah. My biggest quote over this is, my business is my business. So, you know, if you want to sell color kits, it's not my business. You know, it's your business. If you want to go back to work, it's not my business. It's your business. You know? But you expect that there's respect, you know, from everybody. That, you know, if you want to go back to work, that's your business. I'm not gonna judge you for it.
Yeah. And I think that's actually what we can learn, you know, as a collective community, not just hairstylists, but everything in general. I'm not gonna judge you for what you do.
My business, that's, my business.
That's exactly mm-hmm. what I was gonna say. You know what I mean? It's all about judging, isn't it? You don't have a place to judge anybody. Judge yourself. That's it. That's all you have to do, right? Let other people be other people. Don't worry about what they do. You have control of yourself.
We've divided. People have divided, right? Like, I'm right, you're wrong. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I'm right, you're wrong. Yeah. And my way is the right way. Your way is the wrong way. And maybe, like, this time can allow people to say, okay, that way is your way. This way is my way. I'm going to do what's good for me. You do what's good for you.
I love it. It actually has a name and I forget. It's, you know, the Alzheimer's is taking over, but you know, it's the Ford Chevy game, right? Like mm-hmm. you suck because you drive a Chevy and I drive a Ford, or vice versa. You know, it's the same game.
Or you suck because you're a vegetarian. Well,
Tony, that's actually true.
That's true. My business is my business, boy. But you know that's interesting though, Matt. It's like, and I would, and I'm gonna go with it, Tony, because when I chose to be a vegetarian, then in some communities I wasn't vegetarian enough, and in other communities I was way overdoing, right? Like yeah. Some communities, like, oh, wait a sec, you still eat eggs? Well, you know, and I'm like, what? And then I, you know, my realization was like, why does anybody care what I put into my mouth?
Right.
First off, how are we even on the same team, or how are we on opposite teams? Like, what is this? Like, what goes in my mouth puts me on a certain team, you know? Mm-hmm. It was just weird. And I realized that because I wasn't vegan or vegetarian enough, that there was a community that wasn't going to accept the way that, again, I ate, right? And then, you know, my best friend being a barbecue guy, I knew that there would be no way that he'd ever accept the way that I ate for opposite reasons. But you know, it was, all jokes aside, it was kind of a big realization to me. Like, you know, I don't care that much. I don't care that you care that much, is what I should say. You know, and by the way, that doesn't mean that I can't hug you, right? That doesn't mean mm-hmm. that we can't be besties, you know? And mm-hmm. you know, a lot of this, you know, and again,
I learned how to make a mean portobello because of you.
That's true. That's
crack sauce glaze, brother.
And Maddie, just to throw it out there, Tony literally makes the best salsa in the world.
The best salsa in the world?
Oh my gosh.
Ah,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. And okay, Matt, back to barbecue. Are you a Carolina sauce guy, or are you more like a Memphis sauce guy?
100% Carolina.
Ooh,
100%.
I got the crack sauce for you then.
Yeah,
totally. I don't like all this stuff. I'm a very simplistic guy. I'm Italian, man. Like, so, like, we'll make, for example, like last weekend, I made a Sunday gravy for my family. And even though it cooked all day, you're talking about like 8 ingredients that create the Sunday gravy, you know? Simplicity wins in my book all the time.
Yes.
I love.
I don't need complex flavors. Like, I don't need to, like, you know, make myself. I'm gonna get complex flavors with salt and garlic. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
That's it, man. Well, Tony makes a mean Carolina sauce, so you need to hit him up for that, because it is.
I will,
brother. Yeah, there's only like 5 or 6 ingredients in that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
But it's proprietary, so he's not going to share it with you.
That's okay.
I'll make you a batch and send it to you.
That's perfect. I'll be able to figure it out.
Right.
Don't worry.
That's all.
I've got sneaky tricks up my sleeve.
All right.
I love how the competition went from being competitive to going to being competitive.
All right. Right.
That's just the love of food, man. That's just the love of food. You know. That's just
the love. A hairdresser cook-off. Like, I think we need to recruit a couple other people, and then you know, I'm sure we can find some time up in Montana to do a hairdresser cook-off. What do you guys think?
We got to get my boy, Chris Jones. He's out of Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
He's on the BTC team with me.
Yeah, we know.
And he's a baller, man. He's good. He's good on the barbecue. So bring Chris Jones in the mix. Although he does cook filet mignons, and that's not my jam.
I thought you were going to say brisket, you know, from being from Texas.
No, man. I think he's got fake teeth, and he's worried about his teeth coming out. So he likes to have that meat that's just mushing.
Right. Mushy meat.
Mushy meat, exactly.
That's awesome.
He'll have the fish category.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's awesome. Gosh, man, yeah, we got to do a barbecue. I wish we could do it around a show, but, you know, you're just so friggin' busy at the shows, you know? I'm actually interested. I'm interested, like, with these convention halls, since there haven't been conventions in a year. Like, are they forced to drop their, not a year, but, you know, 6 months or so, but working a year into the future, you know, are they forced to drop the prices of the venue? And then if they're forced to drop the prices of the venue, is Premier then forced to drop the prices of entry, you know, meaning for the manufacturer, not ticket prices necessarily? I'm wondering, like, is this the big shift in the industry that as far as shows go, that we've been waiting for? You know, because I know that, you know, it's particularly with Premier, you know, one of the complaints is just how expensive it is for the manufacturers to be in there.
Yeah, I would hope so. But, you know, again, I'm not sure, right? Because you're going to have people trying to recoup their losses. As far as the convention, they'll probably have to lower the rate for the convention center, I would guess, because otherwise people just aren't going to book them because people don't have the money to book them.
Right.
But then will the actual convention holder lower their price is the question. Are they going to try and, you know, recoup some lost costs, or, you know, raise, you know, their bottom line on it? I just don't know. It's left to be unseen, man.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the greatest things that has happened for me out of COVID. I don't speculate shit anymore, man. I don't pretend. I'm like, yeah, I mean, we'll find out, you know, I don't speculate anything anymore because all my speculations have been shoved in my face since it started. Yeah. So it was a good learning lesson of, you know, where my brain was at compared to where it is now.
I love that, man. You're right, though. You know, but that's all we love to speculate. That's what makes us human.
It's true. It's true. We love to be let down.
That's, you know, so true. Yeah.
Give me the pain. Make it hurt.
That's it, man. That's it. I just hope the NFL it doesn't get shut down, because I'm more looking forward to this season than many seasons in the past. You know, I've been checked out for about 5 years now, but for some reason this year has got me. I don't know if it's Brady to Tampa or Tony, who's an Atlanta Falcons team, and they seem to be stacking up. That NFC South is going to be sickening.
Yeah, it's going to be a shakeup year. I like it. I'm in. I agree.
I can't wait, man.
Yeah.
Dude, Matt, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for, I know it's early in the morning there in Minnesota. Thanks for getting up and hanging out with us. And just, man, I always just appreciate the time that we get to spend. And I'm so happy that this morning we actually got to record it and, you know, just have conversation with the bros.
I agree, man. You guys are doing a great thing. I'm always honored to be on your show. Now this is the second time, and I'll do it whenever you guys want. I love hanging out with you guys. I would like to hang out and have a little cook-off Yeah, Tony.
We'll definitely gonna try to make that happen.
That's it.
Because I want to learn something. That's it. I want to learn
something. Hey, Matt, don't speculate.
Right. That's not speculation. He ran barbecue tours.
Right.
So I want to learn something from the barbecue master over there. Well, sometimes the student becomes the teacher.
That's it, man. Always the teacher, man. You know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Matt, again, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for spending the time with us. And thank you very, very much for joining us on the day off. Hey, hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple of months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.